Hi, I'm Steph.
Hi, I'm T.
You're listening to Au Pair Tea, the podcast.
Follow us on Instagram at Au Pair Tea.
Hello, everybody. Welcome back to Au Pair Tea, the podcast, season 3, episode 12. Welcome back, T.
Hi, Steph.
Hi. Another week, we're back.
Here we are.
So, this week, we are going to be covering a topic that we really hate talking about. It's honestly like the most boring bit of admin, but it's the most necessary bit of admin of your whole au pair journey.
Mm-hmm. It's the scariest too.
It's also very scary. Yeah, it is very scary. The very daunting process. But we get a lot of questions about it in our DMs. And now that people are starting their journey, coming over here, being able to actually become an au pair, a lot of people are thinking, I need to get my visa.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So we're going to cover the visa process, everything from like what you need to do to prepare for your appointment and make your appointment to like the actual appointment itself.
Yes.
So yeah, that is what we're going to do this week. So
it's also, I feel, just going to put as a side note, it's also an unofficial collab with Cultural Care, because we did reach out to them. We said, hey, this is the episode we're doing. Can you just send us what you would send au pairs now? Because obviously we were just checking that things hadn't changed since we'd come.
Yeah.
And obviously I came on an exemption, so it's a slightly different process. But the information that we're giving you is what Cultural Care give to their au pairs. So just to kind of put that out there, we went to the source. We were like, hey, tell us what's cracking, lads. And they did. So thank you, Cultural Care. We love you.
Thank you. Yeah, so to be an au pair, you need to be on a J1 visa, which is an exchange visa, right?
Mm-hmm.
So you need to get that in order to come over to the USA to be an au pair. So essentially it lasts for a year, and then you can extend it for a further 6, 9, or 12 months, which is where the extend comes in.
Yeah.
So you start your visa process after you found your host family. So once you've matched your host family, your cultural care coordinator will send you an email, and it will basically have everything on there that you need to be able to make the appointment for your visa. So, T, what's on the email, babes? What's on the email?
So, the email, I will say, is extremely helpful.
It's very helpful.
Basically, they do it for you. It's step by step. So within the email, there are some links and some PDF files and some step by steps. But there's a link to take you to the actual application form, and it's called a DS-160 form. And your DS-160 is just you applying for your visa. And it does take a long time. The form is definitely something that you need to sit down and put time aside for. You can't just fill out on a lunch break kind of thing. It does take time, but it's basically just a form that you put all of your personal details in, your criminal background history, your nationality, just all those things. But within the email from Cultural Care, they actually give you, there's like a link to a thing. It's got screenshots of each question as you go through it. And it's like, this is how you fill this out. This is how you fill this out. That's, you know, relevant to you, which is very helpful, I find. I loved it. Because the first time I looked at the form, I was like, oh shit. I was like, it's one of those things where you're like, I'm going to mess this up. Even though it's like, what's your name? I'm like, oh crap. What is my name? But Cultural Care give it to you step by step, and you can always call them if you need them. My favorite thing about it is the PDF file. I love a list. Let me say it. Steph and I have a to-do list, a shared note. I love a to-do list. And in one of the things they attach to the email is the documents that you have to take. And it's 5 or 6 documents. It's your passport, a passport size photo, the receipt for your DS-160, which is extremely important, and we'll kind of go over that in a minute, the confirmation of your DS-160, which is once you actually complete it, you get an email saying you've completed it and there's a barcode you need to take, and also your DS-2019 and your service document. Your DS-2019 is basic. It's the certificate of eligibility, and on that it's like your host parents' address and who's paying for your program and things like that. It's just very basic. Yeah.
The DS-2019, in my opinion, is like more important than the actual visa itself. Like, because especially in your second year, because in your second year, your visa and your passport kind of is irrelevant. your DS 2019 is what says, okay, you're still allowed to be here.
Yeah.
So always keep that safe.
Oh my goodness. Yes. It's like, oh my gosh, it's gold. If you lose it, you are screwed.
Literally, yeah.
If you do lose it, call cultural care, please. Don't call us.
Yes. Yeah. So a couple of side notes. Your passport needs to be valid for up to 6 months after your return to your home country. So like 6 months after the end of your au pair time.
Yes.
And also in regards to the passport size photo, it cannot be the same photo that's in your passport. I went there to my visa appointment and I was like, okay, I've recently had my passport photo done. I'll just take the ones I already have with me so I don't have to pay to get some more photos. And they would not take it. They were like, it can't be the same picture that's in your passport because obviously your visa is going to go into your passport. So they need to be identifiably different, you know? So you need to have a new passport size photo that's different to the one that's already in your passport. Yes. Just a side note.
Just to put that in there.
Also in this email will be your personal service ID number, which is kind of important because all of your visa information, everything is kind of stored on an online profile that is identifiable by your service ID number. So people ask, you know, the date on my visa, especially people that came in COVID, for me, for example, the date on my visa is different than the date I actually arrived.
Yeah.
But that doesn't matter because if someone was to go into your visa profile and look up your visa information via your service ID number, all of the information on there will be updated to what your actual arrival date was.
Yeah.
My visa physically says May. If I went online, it would say August because that's when I actually arrived. My visa kind of kicked in on that date. So this number is important and you do have to take the document regarding that to your appointment as well. And everything is all automatically updated through your service ID number. So you have nothing to worry about with the physical visa via versus what actually is happening.
Yeah.
Physical, you know?
Yeah.
So once your application, you choose your date for your visa appointment, and that's obviously held at the United States Embassy in your country. So for us, it was London, for example.
Woo!
And you go there. To be fair, I would just whack a day if you can get there in a day and back in a day.
Yeah.
Yeah, I did too. But obviously, like, some people have to fly there, so maybe not. But
yeah,
it's very quick. It's very, very quick. You tell cultural care when your appointment is. Make sure you do that. Tell them when your appointment is. And oh my god, side note, back to the email. Let's reverse to the email.
Back it up.
Something new on there that was not there when I did my visa appointment, and I don't know if UT did the same process as me, but they have added now 25 videos to the email. So 25 videos giving you extra support, extra information, everything you need to know in order
to make walking you through appointment.
It's literally amazing. Walking you through it. And if you're somebody that is more of like somebody that likes to listen and take in information that way instead of reading, like if you're not a visual learner, I think that's amazing.
Love that.
Yeah.
Thanks, cultural care.
Thanks for that, love. I didn't have that when I did mine, or I didn't see it there anyway. But then again, when I was filling out my application, I was freaking out to my friend. I was like, how do I do this? And then she was like, just look at the PDF. I was like, there's a PDF?
I remember calling you being like, wait, what? You're like, yeah, there's a document. I was like, there's a document.
It tells you what to do.
Yeah. Some of the wording's very confusing on the form.
Yeah. And just kind of just get it done as soon as possible. Like as soon as you have the email, just get it done whenever you have like a moment to sit there and fill it out, because cultural care do say that if you delay in filling out your form and getting your appointment, it will delay your departure date, which means that you will then be responsible for covering your flight costs if you go over your departure date that cultural care has.
Yeah.
So I would just get it done. Make sure you fill it out accurately, precisely. Like it needs to be, it's a very important document. So don't just rush it and do it willy-nilly. It needs to be done
on point. Yeah. And the embassy won't accept your visa appointment request, and they won't accept the application if anything is wrong. Like even if, you know, spelling mistakes, like nothing can be wrong. So not to stress you out, guys, but make sure you're stressing about that.
Yeah, it is important.
Yeah. And so also, yeah, but, sorry, carry on. Also, this should be a very obvious point, but this happened to someone in my home country when I was applying at the same time. Cultural care were like, please make sure I remember one of the coordinators at cultural care, when I was going through my visa thing, she said, oh, have you done your visa application thing? I'm like, oh, I'm actually working on it today. Why? And she said, oh, please just make sure that you fill out your name as it's written in your passport, because somebody didn't write their name properly. They wrote like, it's they didn't write their full birth name. They just wrote the normal name that they go by. And I was like
me writing Steph instead of Stephanie.
Yeah, like, what's on your passport, Stephanie or Steph?
Stephanie.
Yeah, so she wrote, she would have written, like, Steph.
Yeah.
And her whole thing got rejected. And from what I heard a couple of months later, like, she had to stop and she was delayed and then COVID happened anyway. But I was, so please make sure your identification matches what's in your actual passport, guys, because it has to match up. Anyway, carry on.
Yes. So with that in mind, back to the actual appointment. So you filled out your form, you're good to go, you've told cultural care when your appointment is, you're on your way to the embassy. It's actually not difficult. Like, it's not you don't need to worry about it at all. I was actually shocked at how easy and how quick it was.
It's getting in that takes time.
Literally getting in. Oh my god, it was like the first time I'd ever seen a gun in my life.
Same. It's terrifying.
It literally is, because they're literally like army guys, like stood outside the security with massive rifles. Like, you... it's literally so scary. But the security process is the longest.
Yeah, because you have to like go between buildings and stuff and go up a lift.
Yeah, in London anyway. Yeah, but so you have to go through, like, you have to put your bag and stuff through like the airport. Like,
yeah, security scan. Yeah.
Yeah, and then you go through and someone checks your documents and they give you a number, which is like your identifying number. Like, this is your, they'll call you by this number to go to your interview.
Mm-hmm.
So you'll go up to wait, and I didn't have to wait that long. There was a lot of people there, but I didn't have to wait that long.
They're pretty quick. There's a lot of booths open, isn't there? It's like 30 or something.
Yeah. So you just sit and you wait for your number to be called. And then when it's called, you go into the booth that is called with your number. And somebody will hold your interview. And it's normally just a random American. And they basically just check all your documents, make sure that everything you have is valid and you have everything you need. And then they'll ask you just a few simple questions.
Yeah.
And I was expecting to be grilled.
Oh, God, yeah.
But they were really simple questions. So, like, questions that I got asked personally was, like, what will you be doing in the USA? Where will you be living in the USA? How many children are you caring for? How will you be doing some form of study in the USA? Have you been to the USA before? And how long will you be in the USA?
Yeah.
And that was all I got asked.
Mm-hmm.
And then he walked away. I think he scanned my documents. He came back and he was like, okay, your visa's been approved. We're keeping your passport because we need to insert the visa inside of it. And it can take up to 10 business days to get back to you. But they give you a little slip of paper that says, okay, your visa's been approved.
Yeah.
And boom.
Boom. Done. Diggity. I will say a point we kind of glossed over very briefly is your... Well, obviously, we mentioned that you need to tell cultural care as soon as you've booked it. That's not just to let them know, but it's because they have to physically mail you your DS-2019 and it needs to be signed and it has to come from Boston. So if you don't have that by the time your visa appointment is there, you are very, very much in trouble. You are very screwed. So please do not forget to tell cultural care when you've got your visa appointment, because they have to get it mailed and signed to you. Mine came very quickly because mine was an emergency visa, but... Please tell them. That's the worst thing. Imagine that, like, you've got everything done. Oh, I didn't bring this one piece of documentation. You are screwed, guys.
They won't let it go either, especially DS-2019, because that is one of the most important documents, if not the most important document that you take with you. So make sure you tell cultural care straight away. A rough time frame, now this could be kind of different now because of COVID and everything, but me personally, when I booked my appointment in February and my appointment was in March.
Mm-hmm.
Just kind of like maybe roughly like a month.
I mean, mine was very, very different, but only because, you know, the country was in lockdown when I got mine, and because my process took a lot longer because I had to apply for the exemption and they were only giving emergency visas. That the normal process wasn't happening, so I needed to get extra paperwork from my host parents' work and everything like that. So that is, you know, that was a pain. But I think the good thing about the embassy is once you're there, it doesn't take like a week to find out whether or not it's like, you know, you find out there and then. I mean, mine was slightly different, but obviously, you know, it was an emergency. You do, they tell you there and then, like, yes, it's been approved. No, it's not been approved. Or it's not been approved today because we're waiting for extra documentation.
Yeah.
But that's fine. I mean, it's stressful because I don't know, it's such a big thing. Like, I think it feels like a big, bigger than it is.
Yeah, I think it's because the actual, like, environment,
the vibe,
so daunting and everyone's so serious. And
yeah, it's scary. Kind of like,
oh my god, yeah.
And a lot of the time, it's just you.
Process to get in. You always feel like you're doing something wrong, even
though yeah, and it's just you and usually a lot of other young people who are doing summer camps or something. You know,
that
you're all kind
of
going
for
the same thing.
You are not allowed to have someone with you at your visa appointments. You have to go on your own.
Yeah,
you're not allowed like a plus one or a guest or like
mummy.
They are not allowed in the embassy, so you have to go into the embassy yourself.
Yeah. Which I remember when I went,
it's so scary.
I just saw a lot of parents sat outside on the little blocks waiting, and my mum was waiting. I was like, "Bye, mummy." To be fair though, the guy at the very front, like at the very beginning of the embassy, when you're walking from the outside to inside, he was very nice. He was high-fiving people as we were going in.
Oh no,
he was cool. He was nice. But everything else, I was like,
Everyone was so grumpy. And because I went before COVID, like I went in March before COVID even happened.
Like before we locked down or?
Yes, like before, like it was kind of when everyone was like, oh, what's this? Like
COVID.
A little flu going around. Yeah, like nobody knew the extent of what was about to happen. So there was so many people and it was just like a regular appointment, like before all the world changed.
Uh-huh.
So everyone was kind of grumpy and like people were pushing and there were so many people and so many lines. And everyone was like, you need to line up here and line up here and blah, 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 blah. So it was all very stressful.
Oh my goodness me.
But obviously that's changed probably now because they have to limit the amount of people going in there.
Yeah.
But the appointment itself is very easy, very quick. And I was honestly like, I thought it was going to take ages. So I booked my train back for like the late afternoon.
Yeah.
So I had like 7 hours after my appointment to kill because I booked my train so late thinking I was going to be there all day.
I mean, but that's good though.
Yeah. But I could have literally been in and out in like 4 hours.
Yeah, we just drove straight back home after. Like, we came down the day before and then we just drove. I mean, it was like 4 hours home, so we just drove home straight away after. And I remember the day of my embassy appointment. It was that day in London where the temperature was like searing freaking hot. And I went in July. It was
London in the heat is not fun.
And there was me thinking I have to dress fancy for the embassy. So I'm there in like trousers, a black blazer. I was sweating. It was so hot. I was dying. And as soon as we got in the car, I was like, Mum, go to a petrol station. I need to change. So I changed and I was like, oh my goodness me. It was scary.
That's so funny. I also thought I had to dress up. So I put in so much effort into my outfit and my appearance. Yeah. And I bought a blazer specifically for the embassy appointment because I thought, okay, I've got to look professional.
Oh my God.
And then I line up and there's a guy in front of me with a backpack on and a freaking hoodie and sneakers. And I'm like, oh.
Great. I'd rather be overdressed though.
So
but anyway, you've been approved.
That's basically it. You've been approved and then like your passport will get sent back to you and you'll be good to go. Good to go.
Yes.
All your flights will start getting booked if you've done everything admin wise, on your profile and everything, and you'll be on your way. It's like the last step to your departure.
The worst
the relief the relief when he says, oh, you have been approved or whatever, and you're like, yes,
bitch. How the hell do you think I felt?
Yeah, well, okay, yours is completely different.
I know. It was
nobody currently has to go through anymore.
Nobody has to get exemptions because there isn't the travel ban anymore.
Exactly.
Woo, thanks Biden.
On another note, we have some questions. We get these questions a lot and people do ask these questions a lot about after your au pair term and changing your visa, because obviously your J1 visa is only limited for 2 years maximum, and people want to sometimes stay longer than that. So people, you know, ask about that. If you want to remain in the USA after your au pair term, there are options for this, but you have to make sure that you follow the rules and regulations as laid out by the Department of State. It's very important because it can get you arrested and get you kicked out of the country. It can mean that you won't be able to get back into the USA ever again. It's very important that you follow the rules. the law, basically.
Yeah, don't risk it, guys.
Don't risk it, please. If you're going down this route, make sure you do significant research and give yourself a lot of time before the end of your time as an au pair, because there's a lot of stuff that has to go into it, a lot of like talking to embassies and getting appointments and sending documents and all this kind of stuff. So please do research and give yourself enough time if you want to go down this route. Most people do either the tourist visa or a student visa.
Yeah.
We've not been through these processes, so we do not have adequate information. But we can say that you're not allowed to earn money from a working job on a tourist visa or a student visa. So in order to be approved for these, you have to have significant funds in your bank account. And by significant funds, I'm talking like thousands of dollars.
Yeah. I think one of my friends is doing it. And from what she told me, she is switching to a tourist visa, and that's 6 months. And I think that they required a minimum of $6,000 in her account.
Yeah.
And you have to show that you've got that money.
Yes. You need to send your bank account and show that you have the money in there. You need to prove that you're going to be financially able to support yourself during the time on these visas, because otherwise you're not bringing anything to the society, and that's American hate that. Americans hate it when you're not contributing to their society.
Yeah.
In regards to a student visa, there are a range of extra funds that you probably need to pay because you're not an American citizen, so such as international fees, etc. And somebody I know is on a student visa, and she needed to get a sponsor from an American citizen that had at least $30,000 in their bank account. So bear this in mind if you're interested in this, and just make sure, all we can say is make sure you do significant research and look into it properly and follow the rules.
Yeah, absolutely.
But we don't want to give any more information on that because we don't know. We haven't been through the process. We are not going to go through the process, and we are, you know, not experts on how that works, but it is possible. Yes, there are people that have done it, but just give yourself like adequate time to look into it and prepare for it and save up the money, because it's expensive as heck to stay after being an au pair.
It's very expensive.
Another choice is if you are under 27 and you have enough time in your age life, your au pair life, you can go home for 2 years and then reapply for another J1 visa and be an au pair again if you want to come back. But you have to be in your home country for 2 years.
Yeah.
So that's also another option if you want to come back. But you have to be under 27 when you come here. So
we're going to be too old.
We're going to be too old, unfortunately. But yeah, that's all we have to say on like the afterlife of the visas and stuff, because like we said, we don't want to give fake information.
Yes.
But just look into it.
So recap for your people that like a checklist, and people want this. If you are listening to this and you have a visa appointment and you're like, what the hell do I take? Get a piece of paper and a pen. I'll wait for you right now. Or you could just pause it. Anyway, make sure you take these to your visa appointment, your confirmation of your DS-160. This is the barcode that they will email you once you've completed the application. You need your original receipt for your application fee. You need your valid passport. You need a passport size photo, a physical one to bring with you that they can put in for your visa. And you also need your DS-2019 and your service document. Your DS-2019 will be sent to you from Cultural Care. So please tell them that you get the appointment. I need to stress this just because I know it's happened to people before and everything got screwed up. Let them do it, okay? And Cultural Care are pretty good at staying in contact with you and being like, hey, any updates? Hey, have you got an appointment? Please let us know. So if you have a good relationship with your coordinator, like Steph and I did, we love you, Roz, if you're listening. Hi, babe. God, I love Roz so much. That's it. That's a great thing. Please just make sure, because it's honestly not as we make it sound complicated. It's actually very simple. It's more just making sure that you tick every box that needs to be ticked and that everything is accurate.
It looks worse than it is. And I must say,
it's scary.
The tax form is harder than the visa form.
The tax form, I can't do. I got my friend to help me because I was like, what the hell am I doing? But anyway, that's a story for another time.
Also, side note, make sure before you match the host family, let's talk down the line, you have the money for your visa. You don't want them to turn around and be like, okay, we're going to deduct the money now, and then you don't have it. So before you even match with your family, you have the money for your visa.
Please.
We're not going to say how much it is because it might have changed since we did it, but make sure you ask your culture care coordinator. I'm sure it's on the documents. But yeah, make sure you have that money.
Yes. There you go.
You do pay for your own visa. It's not included in the program fee.
Oh my gosh.
That's important. But yeah, just make sure that you take time, give yourself like a good few hours. Don't have anything planned after. Just get your form done accurately, precisely. Make sure you're writing all information true to your passport.
Please so check it before you submit it.
Check and double check. My mum double checked mine after I'd filled it out just to make sure that all my information was right.
Yeah.
And yeah, just if you need help, your cultural care coordinator is always on the end of the phone. But like I said, like we said before, the email is so detailed, literally tells you every single thing to put in every single box. So you can't really go wrong.
Yeah. I mean, some people have, but.
But just take
time. You're going to be fine. You'll be fine.
Yeah. So don't rush it. Just take it slow.
You'll be fine, guys. You got this.
But not too slow because you need to get it done.
We're not being very helpful today.
But no. Honestly, the moral is, it's not as much of a daunting and scary and worrying experience as it seems.
Yes.
You know, it's not that bad. And if we can do it, you definitely can do it. So
you're trying to undersell us, honey. We're so valuable. Oh,
but no, it's fine. And if you do ever need help during your visa appointment, you can slide into our DMs as always, and we will try our best to assist.
Yes. That was us, and this was the visa process with Opetti.
Yep. So thank you so much for listening to this episode. We'll be back next week with a very exciting episode. I'm actually very excited for next week
too. What's our emoji for this week, Steph?
Oh, okay. This week, if you are listening to my voice right now, please send us or comment on our post for this episode an octopus emoji.
Ooh, okay.
Yeah, I'm feeling that one today.
She's feeling the octopus emoji today. Okay.
Octopus, yeah.
All right.
So, thank you so much, and we will be back next week.
Thank you, guys. Bye. Guys. And that's the tea.
Subscribe to the podcast and follow us on Instagram @opetti for more.
Thanks for listening.